Taylor Rahimi and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five. Number one.
It's five on at time here on Rahimi and Harris. Mark Grody, Dan Weeder are in. Take the North has taken over Rahimi and Harris. This is question number one. Are the Bears now the clear worst team in the NFC North after the Micah Parsons trade?
I prefer using more optimistic words than than last place or worst. I like to use words like fourth place. That's the I said yesterday. I mean, my answer is out there. I said yesterday that the Bears were fourth place because it is crazy to think that the knowing the other three teams in the division and their recent track record and their rosters pre-Micah Parsons, it's silly to pick the Bears anywhere else but fourth if you are being reasonable with yourself and honest with yourself and all of that. So yes, and this further solidifies it for me now with Micah Parsons being on the Packers. So, yeah, unfortunately, this probably does. And it doesn't mean the Bears are going to be bad. It just means that there are three teams that are better than the Bears in the division right now. So my answer is yes.
So I'm going to read the question again and change a word in it. The question was, are the Bears now the clear worst team in the NFC North after the Micah Parsons trade? I'm changing now to still. Are the Bears still the clear worst team in the NFC North? Yes. Until further notice. This team has been a last place football team for 8 of the 12 years that I've been on the beat. That's the worst.
It's been a rough lifestyle for you.
All these other teams in the division are more proven. They're more established. The Bears have more to prove than any of those other three teams in the NFC North. And hopefully they get to the business of proving it real soon. They've got two division games to open the season. You want to change people's minds? Here you go. Vikings September 8th. 6 days later, go to Detroit and play the division champs. So let's see what you got. Try to change the narrative. But for now, they are the clear worst team in the NFC.
Robbie, how do you feel about, and I know you got something on your mind too, but how do you feel about Dan changing a word?
Yeah, sorry about that.
He's footnoting me. He's changing words in the five on. How do you feel about that?
Micromanager. He's the wordsmith, though. It's good to have him on board. But also, I think you have just been calloused that this team is just going to be bad forever. Like, if you took a bet every year, what's the worst team, and you place on the Bears, that's a pretty good bet, a very good bet. But now a bonus question in this number one, five on it.
Bonus.
Are the Packers...
Bonus.
Who is now the best team in the NFC North? Are the Packers now the best team in the NFC North?
I don't think so. And, Robbie, I do think it is still Detroit. I do. And I know, look, it's...
I'm a Bears fan now.
Easy to pinpoint the places where they are not as hefty as they once were. The coaching staff, two of which are on the Bears right now. So that, I am not disrespecting that truth about the Detroit Lions. It's just, like, I think that they, Ben Johnson walked out of town leaving them a machine. You know what I mean? And then on defense, they'll get Aiden Hutchinson back this year.
Yeah, I'm super curious, and maybe you can help with this. I know they lost both coordinators. Was there a total of assistant coaches that they lost?
No. Lost JT Barrett.
I think it's at least 9. It may have been
Upwards of a dozen. Ben Johnson.
There are other guys that went with
Aaron. The thing about Detroit is they kept all of their talent. It's not like they lost a major player. It's not lost an Amon-Ra. They have all of the same talent.
So I'm with you. I expect them to take a step back, but they're taking a step back from 15-2, right? That's just going to happen.
And they'll get it tuned up eventually. Like, even if they stumble out of the gates, they're just too, Robbie just said it. All those players are still there. Players rule the day at the end of the day. So I'm still Team Detroit. Are you with me on that?
I'm with you, but I have great curiosity about the coordinators. I really do.
Because that's fair.
Name them. Grody, name them.
The coordinators right now
for the Lions, right?
Can't do it.
So exactly. So that they've got to start to make people remember their names, and they get a chance to do it. By the way, I think they open with the Packers, right?
Oh, Detroit does.
Yeah,
I believe so.
So
Robbie, do you know the assistant coaches on the?
That'd be John Morton and Kevin Shepard or Kelvin Shepard.
Kelvin Shepard.
Lions open at Green Bay Week 1.
Look at that.
Baby T
to the rescue,
getting it there.
I love it.
So that's a big deal.
Yeah. Next question.
Number two.
Should the Bears have made a push to trade for Micah Parsons?
They should have inquired. Push, probably not. Like, we talked about this earlier, Grody. It's the cost. You know, you're talking about the draft capital, the money that you've got to spend, and then obviously if the other team is asking for a player, you've got to weigh those costs. I think we're both in agreement that it's not time yet for the Bears to stick that foot on the accelerator and say, we're not slowing down.
It's,
you know?
It's hard to feel that measured today, though, but yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
And so that would be my take, is that they've got a little bit more time. The other part of this is you've already cast your lot with your pass rush, right? Like, you paid Montez Sweat big money. You then went out and got Dioye Dangbo in free agency with a hope that he can take his career to a level that it hasn't been at yet. And so you just don't have the capability of adding another massive salary, $47 million annual average value for Micah Parsons in the new deal with the Packers. So I'm okay. I'm sure the Bears explored this. I'm okay that they didn't get ultra aggressive and try to replicate Khalil Mack 2018.
And we don't know for a fact that they didn't inquire. It's possible the Bears inquired. It's also possible they made an offer. We don't know for sure on that. I have not been able to get any intel to say that they have, but that's a question we probably will be able to ask in the future. So we're on the same page. We've both been saying it, that yeah, next year feels like the year, which I get. It sounds silly because we also obsess over the fact that we don't know who exactly is getting to the quarterback. Like, it's just been a conundrum for the last, you know, last year and going into this year, obviously. So that's an issue. And then, you know, again, and I know this sounds like a leap of faith, it's about the DA, the Dennis Allen factor. And I'll be more anxious if I don't see some sort of action on the field from Dennis Allen in getting his guys to the quarterback. If at the trade deadline, like, it's still not working, we can reopen that conversation.
This defense isn't raw, right? The Bears defense isn't raw. You've got established veterans on all three levels of your defense, and you've got a coordinator with a reputation for being able to utilize that. And so I would guess that Dennis Allen's pressure feels a little heavier right now. He's got to make good with what he's got, and he's got some good stuff.
He does seem pretty confident about, we talk about Ben Johnson's want to compete. He does sound confident, but let's see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Five on it. Number three.
Third question here on Five on It with Mark Rohde and Dan Weider in for Rahimi and Harris.
Yo.
Which is more painful for a Chicago sports fan? Green Bay acquiring Micah Parsons or Kyle Schwarber hitting 4 home runs in a game yesterday and absolutely mashing this year?
Oh, my God. I, for me, it's Micah Parsons, and it's because I just love Schwarber. I have a soft spot for the man. He's one of those guys that, of course, like, you look back and say, non-tendered by the Cubs? Like, you just let Kyle Schwarber walk out the door for nothing? But I'm not going to, you know, contradict myself. At the time, when we all always have to take ourselves back to what was actually going on with the Cubs, and nobody was hitting. And so at the time, although I felt like the Cubs had gotten, like, the best that anybody could have gotten out of Kyle Schwarber, I was wrong about that, and I genuinely wished him well out the door. So I will go with Micah Parsons in this case. It always reminds me, this is a weird analogy that I'm about to make here too. It reminds me of Lovie Smith's last year, in that they won 10 games, and, you know, you look back now and you say, why the hell did they ever fire that guy to get to Mark Trestman? You had to be there,
yeah,
and know what that season was like, and to know what it had been like with Lovie Smith. There was fatigue. It was time for something different. Mark Trestman wasn't it, but this is just my example of giving. Sometimes you really got to know what the texture of the situation was, and the Cubs were not hitting. They stopped hitting, and Schwarber was part of that at the time. So my answer is Micah Parsons.
Trivia here. The only person to get Kyle Schwarber out last night in a game where he homered 4 times.
I know the answer, so.
Vidal Bruján. How about that?
Oh, God.
Position player coming in at the end of a huge blowout and able to get Kyle Schwarber out before he hit the fifth one in the seats. Kyle Schwarber is a murderer of baseballs. It is impressive to watch. It is hard to imagine that the Cubs let him go at the time that they did. And I would like to hear more from you just to help me understand it a little better on why it was time. I felt it with Lovie. You felt it at that time that it was just, it was time for a change.
You agree with that?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
Because a lot of people, his resume has aged very well.
You did not anticipate having to change coaches four times in the next dozen years like the Bears have done.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was time. But Schwarber, like, what he's doing wasn't something that you looked at the time and said, he's not capable of doing that. And now he's going to go, I mean, he might get up towards 60 in the home run column.
49 right now. Yeah.
September's still on tap.
He could be the MVP.
So I don't know. That one's stinging a little bit right now, particularly with the Cubs' struggles hitting the baseball.
So who did you pick as the worst? Was it Parsons? Maybe I missed it in there. Was it Schwarby or Parsons?
The question was, which hurts more, right?
Yeah, what hurts you?
Schwarber not being here hurts more.
Okay.
So hurt.
Very hurt.
My glasses fell off.
Oh, you speak Turkey voice?
No, I do, absolutely.
I have no idea what you guys are saying.
The young guys behind the glass have no idea why we're laughing.
Jerky boys? Oh, you don't know the Jerky Boys?
What is the Jerky
Boys? They don't even know what prank calls are.
Saul Rosen.
No, that's true. Yeah, right. Because they went on Star 69 killed us all.
Can you give me the cliff notes of what the Jerky Boys are?
They were a prank calling duo.
From New York.
From the 90s, right? Probably the 90s.
One of the funniest things you'll ever hear.
All right,
I would say go to Best Buy and get the CD, but neither of those two things exist anymore.
YouTube rabbit hole tonight.
Yeah, it's the funniest thing ever.
Well, we touched on the Chicago Cubs there with former Cub Kyle Schwarber, but now let's go to the Chicago Cubs because as far as they are concerned, what the hell?
Best question in 500 by a country mile. What the hell is right, baby T? What the hell is right? Watching them get swept in San Francisco at a time when the Brewers had come back to reality a little bit and gave you a window of opportunity to really shrink that gap in the division is an absolute what the hell series. First time all season that the Cubs were swept. It felt like every time I looked up, they were hitting into a costly double play with guys on base and an opportunity to break a game open. And then you just play around a little too long and you, as the kids behind the glass might say, you FO. And you let the Giants hang around in a tie game into the ninth. Of course, they're going to beat you and send you on your way with a sweep. That really hurts. At this time of the year, Grody, these losses really hurt. You need to be taking advantage of opportunities. And the Cubs have just been so average for so long here since the All-Star break that you lose a little bit of faith when you come off a sweep and then you follow it with a sweep in the other direction.
Isn't it the epitome of one step forward, two steps back? We're all coming off the elation of the three-game sweep over Anaheim. Kyle Tucker getting it back on, you know, homering and getting big two-out hits. And then all of a sudden, here we are. Cubs get a skull thumping on Wednesday in a 12-3 loss. What was worse, actually, there were, like, consequential things that went down in this series, like Matt Boyd not looking good for a second straight start in the 5-2 loss on Tuesday. That was very hurtful. And you're right about these double plays. I wrote it down on my little play chart here as DP Fest because it's been a festival of double plays. That's not really part of the Cubs story either, but it's like one after another in the Cubs first inning. Baby T.
Yeah.
We were talking about this in the studio. I was on a Zoom call and you're like walking out of here and it was in the first inning. You were right, Farrengol. The Cubs scored a run. They were looking good. They were making contact. Then all of a sudden they had first and third and Nico Horner hits into a double play. And then in the eighth inning.
Yeah, that's the one that hurts.
That's the one that hurt. 3-3 game. Matt Shaw.
Scalded line drive.
Ugh. Yeah, and you know, Jim Deshey said on the broadcast that Shaw has to wait for that ball to go through. Shaw's on second base.
Michael Bush comes up,
a screamer to second base. Second baseman had to go up a little bit to make the play, and then just doubled off. Shaw at second base, inning over. There's nothing worse. Is there anything worse than the line drive double play in baseball? Because it's like,
No. Like, there's nothing worse.
It's a fast range of emotions is what worse. It is. Yes.
Who's headlining DP Fest as well? That seems like, is that at Grant Park?
No, I think Avenged Sevenfold, actually, who is opening up for System of a Down this weekend. Crazy sidebar, walking in this morning on State Street. No joke. There is a pop-up Avenged Sevenfold store in near the South Loop, and there was people lining. You know, you're walking through the city and you see lines. You're like, what the hell is this line for? store. And I looked up, oh, it's an Avenged Sevenfold pop-up store.
Old man over here says, what the hell's Avenged Sevenfold?
They're a rock band, man. Come on, dude. It's all going down. System of a Down. Didn't you hear the promo earlier?
I did.
Wake up. Put on a little bit of makeup. Yep. Here's.
Five on it. Number five.
Last question here on Five on It. It's a life question. Does the end of Labor Day weekend mean summer is over? When does summer end for you?
It's a life question, and it's a hurts my soul question, mm-hmm. because when you cover the NFL, your summer essentially ends on reporting day to training camp, which is often late in the mid-20s of July.
We accept that.
And you realize, and what people don't understand is that all of a sudden your weekends are gone. You got preseason games, you got training camp practices on Saturday, sometimes you got them on Sunday, and all of a sudden the summer, which just began, is abruptly ended. For me, it also ends when the kids go back to school, which was just last week. And so you just gotta cling to it, right? Like, you gotta get your fingernails in the cliff and not let it go. I will give the NFL credit for this. A few years ago, they changed cut day from Labor Day Saturday to the middle of the week before Labor Day, after they reduced the preseason from 4 to 3 games. That is a life changer for reporters who cover the NFL. Labor Day weekend is now mostly clear unless your team trades for an all-pro pass rusher somewhere else. You don't have to sit there at 3 o'clock on Labor Day Saturday while the rest of the world is enjoying the last shades of summer trying to figure out if they cut their 7th wide receiver.
Yeah. I think summer is over when I, Mark Grody, when I accept that it's time to put the shorts away. Like, I haven't done that yet. Like, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool in the morning. Like, so that's why I'm, it's hoodie short season right now, which is exactly, if you're watching
it's
on Twitch.
It's a good season.
It is a good season, but, and I usually, it takes a while for me to accept it. So, no, summer is not over. And here's especially why. There's still going to be some hot games. There's always hot games, like sweaty games at Soldier Field in September. And that's and I would just like to add a little of my own addendum to it. There are, this will be really shocking to people, there are Bears season tickets in the Grody family. And my mom, who of course is going to get offered the, which game do you want to go to? My mom would always say, I will only go to the September games because that's when it's warm. Who wants to be miserable when they're sitting out at Soldier Field, especially when you're getting up there a little bit? Happy birthday to my mom.
Love it.
My beautiful mother. And I hope she doesn't hate me for saying this, but she is turning, she is 80
milestone
today. 80
milestone.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Jean Grody. Happy birthday to Jean Grody. She doesn't really care for my hairy character. No,
I like
kidding.
It.
I'm kidding.
Enjoy
no,
it.
She loves it. She loves it. So we're having a big party for my mom tonight. Happy birthday to you, Mom.
Shout out to Jean.
I love you. We have more of the Raheemy and Harris show coming up with me, Mark Grody, and Dan Weedsy Weederer. What are we talking about? Oh, we're going to dig a little bit. We got some more stuff on Kyle Schwarber here is what we are going to discuss.
Good.
And the Cubs. DP Fest has come and gone. We could talk more about that, but there were other things of consequence in the game. We'll talk about the Cubs and what's coming up with them and Schwarby McSchwarber as well. Along with Dan Weeder, I'm Mark Grody, in for Raheemy and Harris on The Score.